1, and we will quote the psalm together. Okay? We've got, 11th study in Psalm 23. We've got one more to go, and we should all have it down pat. Not only what it says, but what it means, and the application of it to our lives. Okay? Psalm 23, verse 1. Shall we pray together? We will be continuing our series of studies this evening in the book of Hebrews. If you'd like to prepare for our study, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through the end. And we appreciate again your reading this and coming along for that study. Satchel Paige, who was probably the greatest black baseball pitcher, gave a line, sort of a pithy statement that was supposed to be a sort of philosophy of life. And he would say this. He would say, "Don't look back. Something might be gaining on you." Well, David said, "Look back. Something is gaining on you. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And this is the kind of concept that David is saying. He's bringing to us this particular thought. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And it's that particular text that we would like to look at this morning. The sheep has boasted his way all the way through the psalm. It's not really David speaking, it's the sheep. And he has spoken from beginning to end of the wonderful and intimate relationship that he has had with the shepherd. As you now well know, the sheep and the shepherd are high up in the Alpine mountains, and the shepherd has carefully guided them and guarded them and brought them to their summer home high up on the tableland. He has been feeding them all summer, and they have enjoyed his protection, his provision, his arrangement of food day after day as they have made their trip from the fold out through the pasture and back at the conclusion of the day. And the shepherd has been the whole occupation of the sheep. He has been totally absorbed with the shepherd. We noticed at the beginning of our study of this psalm that we can read through the whole psalm and we do not see any requests from the sheep. You read through all six of these verses, and not once does the sheep ask for anything. He doesn't say, "I need some food." He doesn't ask for water. He doesn't ask for protection or pastures. He doesn't ask for oil for his head. He doesn't ask for the rod to be used against his enemies. He doesn't ask for the crook to be put around him as a sense of assurance. He doesn't ask that he'll escape from his enemy, nor even that he will escape the valley of the shadow of death. There are no prayers. There are no pleas, but the simple trust of the sheep for the shepherd that he will provide and that he will protect to the best of his ability. Now, I noticed as I continue to study this psalm that there is another aspect that is missing from this psalm. Of course, the Holy Spirit doesn't think it's missing, just you and I, or maybe just me. There isn't in the whole psalm one exhortation from the shepherd to the sheep. I noticed as I studied this psalm that in the same way, there is nothing that the shepherd exhorts the sheep to do. He doesn't ask the sheep to listen. He doesn't ask the sheep to obey. He doesn't say that the sheep should come here or go there or follow him closely. He doesn't say that they should drink from pure water rather than that which is putrefied. He doesn't say, "Lie down." He doesn't say, "Follow me." He doesn't say, "Don't fight with other sheep." He doesn't say, "Don't stray, don't get lost." He doesn't say, "Don't disobey me." Isn't that interesting that we can read through this whole psalm, which gives to us the most perfect picture of the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd, and not once does the shepherd ask for the sheep to do something, and not once does the sheep ask the shepherd for anything. It's clear that there is an intimate relationship here between the sheep and the shepherd. They know each other, and they understand each other. But there aren't many sheep like that. You know why I know that there are not many sheep like that? Because as soon as we move into the New Testament, I find this same shepherd spending most of his time telling me to follow him, to come to him, to listen to him, to drink his water, to obey, to follow close, to open my ears, and then I hear the sheep in the New Testament. And I hear the sheep asking for this and asking for that. And I see the sheep all the way through the New Testament, and I find that continually they're asking the shepherd for things. Have we missed being the kind of sheep we should be because the shepherd hasn't changed? The same one who said he is the sheep, shepherd of the sheep in Psalm 23, is the same one who says to the sheep in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Maybe it's because we are so selfish and so afraid and so fearful and lack so much faith that we just don't rest in the shepherd and just expect that he will provide that which is good and best for us. Maybe we too often think we know better than the shepherd, and so we ask the sheep for this and that rather than wait for him to provide. Now, you may argue with me, and that's fine. People have been doing that on that particular point for years, but I am still preaching that same message. My responsibility as a sheep with this great shepherd is to just rest in his provision, to walk closely with him, to keep my eyes centered upon him, to receive the blessings that he desires me to receive, and to give thanks for those blessings that he sees not fit to provide. We have here in our text this morning the voice of the sheep again. All the benefits that this sheep has experienced, that he has happily enjoyed for this whole year, a lifetime, basically, of happy enjoyment of the shepherd is wrapped up in our text for this morning. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me. Now, he has made some very bold statements down through this psalm. In fact, the more we read it, the more we realize that the bold statements that he makes are indeed because of the faithfulness of the shepherd, not because of the faithfulness of the sheep. And all the aspects of the skill and love of the shepherd are bound up in this term. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, all this is summed up in these words. And we could take again and go back through the psalm and see how it has been presented. But no matter what comes into his life, he is saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. During this study of this psalm in some 11 weeks that we've been here, some of you have gone through some deep waters in life. Some of you have experienced death in the family. Others have had disease and the body has been broken down because of disease. There's been despair that's come over some in your mind and your thinking. There's been some who have been discouraged with the job that you're responsible for. There are some who have had darkness come into your spiritual life. And we could go on with the list of things that have taken place in some of your lives. You've shared them with me. You've called them. You've asked me to participate. You've asked me to pray about them. And now, I ask you to say with the psalmist, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And that may be difficult for some. That may be hard in the midst of death and disease and discouragement to say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And you say, wait, preacher, hey, you don't have an easy life. You don't go through what I go through. You haven't gone through what I've gone through. You haven't suffered what I've suffered. You can say it. You're the preacher. I'm not the one that said it. David is the one that said it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Would you like me to look into the life of David? Would you like me to compare for a few moments the life that David had and the life that you and I share? What has been his life? His life was threatened. He was attacked by the king. He lived in caves and dens of the earth. His life was hunted like a partridge on the mountains. His son fought against him. His son would have probably killed him if he could to take the throne of Israel. His wife was taken from him and given to another. His child died. Shall I go on? Shall we review the sorrows of this man who said, surely goodness and mercy? He has walked through this before he said this. It seems at the end of his life, after he had lived a long and full life, not only as a shepherd, but as a king and as a sovereign, then he comes and he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Is your life worse than David? Has the experience to which you have been brought by the Lord been worse than his? If he, in the midst of sorrow and distress, trial and discouragement, could say, surely goodness and mercy, wouldn't it be a simple thing for you to say it? And for me? You know, his life was filled far more with trouble, with trial, than yours and mine. We have the conveniences of life, our homes rather than tents, our air conditioning rather than the hot east wind. We live in the comfort of the amenities of life. We drive cars rather than chariots, and the list can go on. But so often we take one incident in our life and we experience a kind of suffering or sorrow. And we say, well, you know, what happened, Lord? Where is it? We begin to question whether or not surely goodness and mercy are following us. So few of us can join voices with David or with his little sheep and say, surely goodness and mercy. What are these two graces? Goodness and mercy. What are these two graces that David recognizes as gaining on him, as trailing him, as pursuing him, is really the word. There is, first of all, the fullness of his goodness. It's not by accident or fate that the grace is pursuing the sheep. It doesn't just take place that goodness and mercy follow us. It is of the divine provision of the shepherd himself. Goodness is a characteristic of the Lord himself. And because that's a characteristic of the Lord himself, it must be a characteristic of his care. If he cares for you, then he must care for you with the graces of goodness and mercy. In Psalm 33, verse 5, it says, the earth is filled with the goodness of the Lord. No matter where we turn, we'll see the goodness of God. And it's the goodness of God that is following this little sheep. It's the shepherd's care. And there he is, meditating and contemplating all of the blessings that are his because he has this wonderful shepherd called the Lord. Not only is it a part of the nature of the shepherd, but it's also supposed to be a part of the nature of the sheep. If this belongs to the sheep, or belongs to the shepherd, and I am his sheep, then my life should manifest this same grace. It should manifest this goodness as well. The term is descriptive of the outpouring of God's things, of the blessings that he bestows on his people, particularly on those who belong to him. Now, not everyone can say that the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, we can say the word. But it's a far different thing to put my hand in his and put my heart in his and embrace him and say, the Lord is my shepherd. Far different than to say the word. The believer is to manifest this same goodness because it's a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. It belongs to my shepherd. And because it belongs to my shepherd, it should belong to me. And therefore, because of that, it follows me all the days of my life. Psalm 68, verse 19, it says, the Lord daily loadeth us with benefits. You know, we take one day out of our life. We begin to say, Lord, what happened? The whole bottom has fallen out of it. My job has deteriorated. My relationship with my family is destroyed. All these things are come upon me. And yet the Lord says, the earth is filled with his goodness. And he daily loadeth us with benefits. It's what we're occupied with. It's what we're taken up with that charges our emotions or decides what our feelings are going to be for that day. It says of the Savior, he went about doing good. That's the kind of thing. He went about doing good. You can see how that as the sheep begins to draw his boast to a close at the end of this psalm, he sort of gathers all together and he says, all the benefits, all the blessings, all the goodnesses are found in my shepherd. You remember some of them. There was relaxation. That's part of God's goodness. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. There was refreshment. He leadeth me beside the still waters. There is restoration. He restoreth my soul. There is regulation. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. There is reassurance. There is a reservation. He lays a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And there is rejoicing. My cup runneth over. joy. And the shepherd has bestowed all of these blessings on his little sheep. And the little sheep says back to the shepherd, surely, goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. Now, even in the area of the gospel, this is brought out so clearly. In the gospel of God's grace, we're told in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? We talked in Sunday school this morning about the fact that it's possible for a person to point their finger in your face and say, you're going to burn! And that's true. And there are those who have received Jesus Christ as their Savior, have put their trust in him because they were afraid that the day was going to come when they would fall over the chasm into hell and burn forever and ever. There are those who have believed and born again. But the Bible also says, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And there are those who have been heaped with benefits, who God has poured on their lives good business, a good health, a good home, a loving family, Christian parents, and all the benefits that they've heaped upon them. They say, I must trust Christ. He loves me so much, I will trust him. And it's the goodness of God that leadeth to repentance. There may be some who are here this morning, and the Lord has bestowed an infinite blessing upon you. He's given you a good family. He's given you a good home. He's given you a good job. He's given you the air to breathe. He's given you the physical health and strength. They are gifts from him. And it should lead you to repentance if you've never trusted Christ. Goodness has followed you all your day. And mercy as well. I wonder if you've received from his hand ample goodness for the weak, for strength, for breath, for possessions, for prosperity. Have you stopped to thank him and say and testify and boast to his goodness? Surely goodness has followed me today. It's been my constant companion. But then there is a second thought, and that is the marvel of his mercy. Someone has suggested that these two graces are like sheepdogs, and that these are the two guardians of the flock. Because the good shepherd will have a couple of good sheepdogs. And they will encircle the flock from time to time. And if one of the sheep gets in trouble, the sheepdog will bark and bark until he gets the attention of the shepherd. And then the shepherd will come and rescue and that little poor sheep. And maybe you could like to see it that way. These two sheepdogs, goodness and mercy, following me day after day after day, making sure that I don't stray, nipping at my heels, keeping me following him. Others would see it perhaps as two guardian angels. Are they not all ministering spirits? Send forth to minister to them who are the heirs of salvation, Hebrews tells us. And that these two guardian angels, on wings of mercy and wings of goodness, who minister to me continually, no matter where I go, there they are, goodness and mercy. They're mine, because I'm his. There is mercy. Mercy is somewhat the opposite of goodness. Goodness is the outpouring of God's blessing. And mercy is the withholding of some judgment or some chastening that I deserve because of my failure. Lamentations chapter 2 and chapter 3 and verse 22, it says, it is of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed. Now who would stand this morning in our congregation and say that I have gotten exactly what I deserved? The goodness, the blessing, the health, the strength. I deserve it. I don't think there's a bold soul to do that. It is of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed. If God had dealt with us according to our sins, not one of us would stand in God's presence. Not one of us could stand and say, I got what I deserved. It is of the Lord's mercy that you and I are here this morning. God has reached out his arm of justice to us and poured out his justice as we do receive, as we were due to receive. There isn't one of us who could stand. But it's of his mercy. Psalm 136 lists every verse, for his mercy endureth forever. You may get tired of reading that verse, but it was a psalm that was sung in Israel And part of the congregation would give to us the story of the history of Israel, and the other part would respond, "For his mercy endures forever." And it was like a two-part chorus, and it was a description of the infinite mercy of God to this stiff-necked people called Israel. You and I are right beside them. Have you gotten what you deserved? Have you received from God's hand what you deserve? Of course not. The sheep looks back over the days and over the weeks. He reflects. He reflects on the demonstration of mercy. And I put over this portion of God's word, reflection. Where is this little sheep? He's tucked away safely, quietly, in the fold, high up in the mountain. The shepherd has laid himself across the door, and his rod is right there for protection. And the sheep is inside, warm, quiet. And he's meditating on all that's taken place during the day, perhaps during the week. And he says within his heart, "Surely, goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life." He remembers the times when he has strayed. He remembers the time that he didn't listen and went off and got caught in the briars. He remembers when he drank the dark, polluted water, and how sick he got, and how the tender shepherd came and ministered to him. You remember the time when he didn't come when he was called, and the shepherd had to go out and bring him back and try and teach him a lesson? You remember the time when he was so far away from the shepherd he couldn't hear the voice? And the shepherd at the end of the day had to come and look for this little sheep, and when he found him, he took that little leg and broke it across his knee so he wouldn't stray anymore. He remembered that. He remembered, well, the list went on and on and on. And the little sheep realized how many times he had failed and gone astray and didn't listen and disobeyed. And yet here he was, tucked quietly into the fold, about to go to sleep. And he said, "Surely, goodness and mercy shall have followed me all the days of my life." If it wasn't for the mercy of the sheep, you know what he would have done long ago, and the shepherd sometimes must do this. He must single out that one sheep, and he leads that little lamb to the slaughter. That sheep has been so rebellious, so disobedient, he influences the rest of the sheep and draws others aside. He leads that little lamb to the slaughter, and he says, "I can't afford you. You lead the other sheep astray. You take so much of my time. It's time for you to leave." You know that God does that with his people sometimes? Sometimes he takes his sheep, because they are so disobedient and so rebellious, he will take them out, lead them to the slaughter, and their life will be taken, but of course their soul is spared. The psalmist says in Psalm 103, verses 10 and 11, "He hath not dealt with us according to our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." Beloved, his mercy is beyond your thought. It is high above the heaven. His infinite mercy to you. Because he's not dealt with you nor me as he should have. Do you see yourself as sheep, savoring the mercy of the shepherd? Have you thought about that? Have you remembered him? Have you told him how much you appreciate his mercy? Can you repeat with the shepherd, with the sheep this morning, "Surely goodness and mercy has followed me all the days of my life"? But there comes a time when his mercy stops. Not all people are his sheep. Not all people belong to him. Not all people can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And there comes a time when mercy must be suspended. There comes a time when man will stand before the judgment seat, before the great white throne of God. And there God will sit upon his throne, and he will say, "I gave you a chance to trust me. I gave you a chance to receive me, and you didn't." His mercy, in that case, will have to cease. He will be cast into the lake of fire, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Never belonged to him. You were not his sheep, but his mercy still followed you until the moment of your death. then the mercy seeks. This twofold blessing belongs only to those who belong to Him. God does not require to cause mercy and grace to follow you if you don't belong to Him, but very often He does, in order that He might bring you to repentance. And there is thirdly the strength of his statement. What authority does David have saying this? Who is this shepherd who would say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life? He hasn't died yet. What authority does he have to say these words? Note that he's saying this after a lifetime of fellowshipping with this shepherd, after a lifetime of walking behind this shepherd, after a lifetime of listening to his voice. Oh yes, he stumbled and fell. Oh yes, he was disobedient. He was rebellious. He counted Israel. He committed adultery. And the list goes on and on. But surely, he says now, goodness and mercy have followed me and will follow me all the days of my life. Not the statement of one good day. It wasn't one good day when everything went out well and the job sort of fell together and the family was warm and friendly and everything just sort of fell into place. And David says, that's a good day. Goodness and mercy have followed me today. He's not saying that. He has a past to look back to. There are the past blessings, which are the authority for which he says that. David has lived a life. David was so prone to remember the clear evidences of God's infinite mercy and goodness. You don't have far to look. Look into David's life. And you see him as a boy of 17 coming to give his brothers something to eat. And he sees down in the valley, there is Goliath, that walking arsenal, walking up and down, back and forth. What does David say? I'm going to go and fight him. Eliab says, don't worry about it, we'll take care of it, but we're afraid. David says, I want to see him. David is taken to Saul. Saul says, what are you going to do? You're just a little child. And David says to Saul, when I was a boy, he said, a lion and a bear came against me, and I grabbed both of them, and I destroyed them, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like them. What did David do? He stored his memory with victories in the past. And he says, this is going to be exactly the same situation. That's what he's saying. There are past blessings. As a youth, when Saul had chased him, in his middle life, when Absalom defied him, David now looks back and says, goodness and mercy still followed me. In spite of the fact that I was hunted like a partridge, in spite of the fact that the javelin was thrown at me on several occasions, in spite of the fact that I thought my life was going to be taken from me any day, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What you've stored your memory with? Have you stored your memory with the victories that God has given us? Can you look back to times when he has poured out his blessing, poured out his goodness and his mercy, and you said, he'll do the same? That's what we need to do. Because there are difficult days ahead for all of us. God has planned wonderful trials for you and I so that we'll grow and develop and mature. We'll be able to look back and say, goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. There are past blessings that he looks back to. There are present benefits that he looks at right at the moment, wherever he is. We don't know when David wrote this. We, as best we can understand it, was at the end of his life or toward the end of his life. But he penned this psalm out of experience. But where is the sheep? As you remember, the sheep is high up in the mountains, those alpine tablelands. He is safely tucked into the fold. The shepherd is at the door. And the present situation is just wonderful. He hears maybe the howl of wolves, but they're no concern to him. They won't get past the shepherd. He doesn't have to think about where he's going to eat tomorrow because the shepherd has provided it. The water, where he's going to drink, the shepherd will arrange that. The trip will include everything he needs for tomorrow. And so he rests at the end of the day, and he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, tomorrow and the next day. And the day after, and the day after that, and the week after that. We're so concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow. We're so concerned that maybe we're going to run out of money tomorrow or not have a job. Or maybe our health will collapse. We're so afraid. It's difficult for us to say, surely goodness and mercy. Because it means I look back to the past and I realize his blessings. It means that I look at the present and I realize his benefits. sheep are dwelling in the serenity provided by the shepherd. And with that kind of surrounding, he can simply say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. But there's one further thing, and that is the promised blessing. The sheep exercises a great deal of faith in the shepherd. If he's taken care of me in the past, certainly he'll take care of me in the future. If it cost him his life to save my soul, what does it cost him to provide a meal? What does it cost him to provide a job? What does it cost to provide him the ingredients of life on a day-by-day basis? My schooling, a mate that I will marry, a family that he will provide, my retirement years. Will he take care of that? There are the promises. And it takes faith, exercising the word of God. What does the shepherd say when he gets to the New Testament? He says this, I am come that they might have life and have it abundantly. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he shall go in and out and find pasture. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the sheep who says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, is the sheep that has faith in the shepherd of the future. Then there is fourthly the record of his reflection. With absolute assurance, he says, surely. Not a question. Not maybe if all things go well. Not if the creek doesn't rise. Not if my ship comes in. And all the other things that we say that sort of help us get God into the proper perspective. Not at all. Surely. Surely, goodness. There is no question in his mind that in every circumstance of life he will experience the goodness of God. Like two guardian angels sent forth from the very presence of God to guarantee that I will have goodness and mercy. All my needs he will supply. Again, we go into the New Testament. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Surely? Can you not find that word elsewhere? Of course you can. It is a promise of God, and he will fulfill it. And this record of his reflection is all the days of my life. Days have been hard. Some of them have been filled with distress. Some of you have had trial, disappointment, and difficulties. And when you take all these days together, it's a little bit easier to say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. But if you're laying flat on your back with the sorrows of disease and the pain racking your body, you say, I can't say that. It's difficult for me to say. But when you see what it produces, and you see the change in your life because of your submission to the word and will of God, you can say in retrospect, surely, goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. It's all the seasons of your life. In the springtime of your youth, when vigor and vitality is so strong and you can conquer the world, it would seem, goodness follows you, mercy is there. In the summer of your adult, when challenges and growth and development take place, and there you are with the great possibilities of life, and if you don't get it now, you never will. It's there. In the fall of your middle years, when trials and fears begin to creep in, emptiness begins to become a part of your life and your home, goodness and mercy follow me. And in the fall of your old age, when you become cool, cold, lonely, when it's barren, you face the end, goodness and mercy will be right beside you. You belong to the Good Shepherd, his two sheepdogs or his two angels, goodness and mercy will follow you. And finally, the reminder of his responsibility. If such goodness and mercy belongs to my shepherd, then it should belong to me. And there is another sense in which you can look at this whole text and you could preach another whole message on it. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. What follows you? There are those people who leave a trail of sorrow and fear and worry and anxiety every place they go. When you go, do you leave a trail of goodness and mercy like your shepherd does? When people have been where you are, is there the fragrance of mercy? Is there the joy of his goodness behind you? Or have we left a trail of sorrow and suffering and difficulty and distress? Christ went about doing good. We should too. One of the things that was spoken of David Livingstone, no matter where he went, he did good. He did good to the people. If I've been so ministered unto, should not I minister those same graces to others? Does goodness and mercy follow you wherever you go? It does from God. Does it from you? Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, we know this morning that you have been so gracious to us. You have ministered your goodness to us. We acknowledge this day that you've given us health and breath and strength. We very often not used it for you, for your glory. We used it for our own enjoyment, for our own blessing, for our own aggrandizement. We thank you for your mercy, that you have not dealt with us according to our sin. You've not rewarded us according to our iniquity. We confess that we live for self so often, and we very often leave behind a trail of selfishness, fear, sorrow. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our shepherd, for giving us the Lord Jesus Christ as our shepherd.